You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review, broadcasting here on Saturdays. That's tomorrow from 9 to 11 a.m. Check out his fine program. Jim, thanks for coming around, man.
Good to be with you again to talk about... It's a lot.
I'm just change the name of the show to It's a lot. It's a lot. Because it is a lot. And we got a lot for you in this hour. Pam Bondi.
She's your attorney general, by the
She's
way.
She's your attorney She's general. Right? General. She's not my attorney right? general. Right? Right? She's your right. attorney general.
United States Senate confirmed her for that position. Right? Yeah. Right?
Yes, yes.
Just now, so you know.
If you were still in your old job, right? She would have been your boss.
She would have been my boss, absolutely. And I will tell you, again, as an entree into this next segment here, I worked for, I believe it was 9 different attorneys general, most of them Republican. And the reality is that, again, you compare the things that those Republicans and Democratic attorneys general said, there's nothing like what we're getting from her these days. Again, nothing even close. She is a political operative in the Department of Justice. And it is shocking. It is just shocking to see what she says.
Well,
to hear what she says.
You're going to love this. Right. Just got the sound. Thank you so much for your hard work today for slicing and dicing up the Attorney General. Let's hear what she had to say about these district judges.
Many judges need to be removed, Judge Howell included, Judge Reyes, Judge Boasberg. These judges obviously cannot be impartial. They cannot be objective. They are district judges trying to control our entire country, and they are trying to obstruct Donald Trump's agenda.
Jim went for his notes.
I did. I was checking off the judges. So just by way of reference, I don't have all of them here, but Anna Reyes is the judge, just to be clear. She was the one who said, no, you can't stop transgender people from serving in the military. That's what she said, right? Mm-hmm. James Boasberg, obviously, stop the planes, and we're still working on that as well. Ellen Hollander, she's from Maryland. She was the one who said, yeah, I can't get access to the Social Security stuff. Theodore Chang said, USAID, can't shutter them, although basically the agency is done. So at least she's got her reference points correct, but there are an awful lot of them out there. All of these people, Attorney General Bondi, all of them have to be brought down, as that's what she's saying.
They need to be removed. Of course, Boasberg also landed the Signal case.
Yes.
From American
Oversight.
Right. Their lawsuit, which, of course, is random, literally right, random, right, and they right. have a problem with that. So,
well, I mean, we saw just an hour ago that sometimes the random selection can land some pretty big coincidences.
Right, right.
With the case against Elon Musk getting randomly assigned
to Susan Crawford.
Judge Susan Crawford.
There was a certain lawsuit brought by a guy named Jack Smith. It was a criminal case, and it happened to be randomly assigned to a federal district court judge in the Southern District of Florida. Her name, Eileen Cannon. Yeah. Right? We know how that
wasn't that
out.
Randomly positive right. for right. Donald Trump. And I don't remember Pam Bondi, much like when we talked about the last hour, complaining about that Texas judge who ruled that mifepristone could no longer be used before then. So literally, one guy... national rule, right. and that stood until the appeal, right?
Absolutely. And again, the Fifth Circuit did change that a bit. It went up to the Supreme Court ultimately, and I know your listeners all know this. Supreme Court basically said, we don't want to get involved in abortion right now, found that there was no standing in the first place, kind of suggested, Judge Kaczmarek, maybe you should have thought about whether or not the people who are coming forward really had some skin in this game, as they say. They did not, and so sent it all back down. And again,
sounds like an activist judge.
Right. And those were the members of the Supreme Court, a majority of those members. And the good news, again, for your listeners, is that mifepristone to this day remains accessible to Americans.
It's also the major drug used to treat Cushing's disease. P. people, please. More from your Attorney General, Pam Bondi, and Laura Ingraham. I guess this is who's doing the interview over at Don't Call It Fox News. Cut number two, please.
Sure. More on Judge Boasberg.
And Judge Boasberg is a busy judge. He was assigned to the Signal Gate, which is such a ridiculous name, but the Signal Chat.
Signal Gate.
Which is a lawsuit filed by parties, which I'm not sure they have standing to file, but President Trump calls it disgraceful that this judge, again, who's ruled against you on the Trend-Aragua deportations, is now assigned to the Signal case.
Yes.
Your reaction tonight to that?
Laura, he has multiple cases. I guess it's a wild coincidence against Donald Trump and our administration. And now he has the Signal case. He shouldn't be on any of these cases. He cannot be objective. He's made that crystal clear. You know, these judges are taking personal attacks, too, at many of the cabinet secretaries and these judges across the country. And again, they think they have authority, but it's going to be short-lived.
I don't know how wise it is for an attorney general whose department is certainly going to be in front of these judges to talk like that. Right. I remember there used to be a day, man, you know, before I think Trump really started going after judges. Mm-hmm. But now apparently it's open season on the judges.
Exactly. And again, if you get in front of, let's list their names again, Ted Chiang and James Boasberg and Elaine Hollander and Anna Reyes and Tanya Chutkan as well. When you are the assistant U.S. attorney or you're there from the name the division inside of Main Justice, it's entirely appropriate for a federal district court judge to say, okay, we're going to talk about the substance of this. Let's talk about the merits of this request for a TRO. And I also noted on the front page of the New York Times that the Attorney General, your boss, Mr. Assistant United States Attorney, Madam United States Attorney, has called me, and then you fill in the blank, the name calling, and that too, right? And it has happened, right?
Yeah.
Right? And that kind of thing, it's fascinating. It's horrifying that the attorney general says that they're doing the name calling. No, it's just the opposite. It's just, and Boasberg has been on the receiving end of more than virtually anything else. He's approaching the Tanya Chutkan levels, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so again, and beyond that, this is a small point. She knows well that when it comes to the assignment of cases, she was the attorney general in Florida. She was a practicing lawyer. These things are randomly done. Do you think for one moment in the United States of America, if somebody was saying, oh, get that case down to Judge Boasberg, that somebody would not find that out and get that into the media? Of course. This is randomly assigned. You've got civil servants in the clerk's office who are doing this, right? And so, again, don't mislead. How cynical to suggest that, again, civil servants are somehow skewing the case assignments now. Is that what we're doing, Madam Attorney General?
They were just speculating. Just asking questions.
Right. It just sounds curious.
Observing the wild coincidence of it. And I got to be honest. I mean, who wants to pull Trump cases? You know what I mean? Like, oh, God, I got to deal with this again?
Right, right.
But, you know, that's the job. And so I'm looking forward to hearing how Boasberg handles all these multiple Trump administration cases. One more, I believe, Laura Ingraham, Pam Bondi, on no investigation needed for Signal, right?
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
Let's hear this one.
Let's listen to this.
This is not a concern of yours, Inspector General, you know, idea of Inspector General investigation or congressional investigation down the road. You are completely confident that this was a mistake and nothing more than that.
We are.
All of
our intelligence officials who were on it are confident of that as well.
Do you not know, like, how many Democrats that I know over the years who have been on Signal? I mean, of the highest level Democrats. And that... is that changing in the government now, though? Is Signal not going to be used, or is it going to be used going forward? Are you aware of it?
I think Signal's a very safe way to communicate. I don't think foreign adversaries are able to hack Signal, as far as I know.
And maybe people just have to keep an eye on their contact list a little bit more carefully.
Agree.
Going forward.
They learned their lesson. So much, I have such a problem with this. But basically, Jim, if government officials, Democrats or Republicans, are using Signal, they can set to delete the messaging, then we don't have records of
anything,
what's happening in our country.
Absolutely. We don't have historical records or present records. When it comes to any of these lawsuits that may be out there, we cannot produce discovery about significant material communications where the policies are being discussed, all those kinds of things. If anything, you want to use all the mechanisms possible to record what you're doing. And there are all sorts of protections for that. There's a deliberative privilege, all kinds of things out there. And beyond that, you know, just the notion notion that the Attorney General, who does have some oversight responsibilities with respect to the integrity of processes in America, this is going to sound very, very wonky, but when I was in Iraq, there are mechanisms inside government. It's called a SIPRNet account. Here's the acronym, the Secret Internet Protocol Router Network. There was one sitting in front of me for 2 years at the embassy. There's another thing, of course, SCIFs. We've got SCIFs all over the place. Why don't you go in there? Why are we talking about Signal at all anymore? Why don't we just reaffirm that, again, when it comes to war engagement, bombing Houthis, bombing other people, engaging in other things where our armed services are put in jeopardy, and we're attempting to do something that is, you know, violent and maybe very necessary, that's a policy decision that's made, we should be communicating that in the most secure mechanism possible. How wonderful it would be if my attorney general, and she, again, she's yours as well, if she had come forward and said, instead of attacking this and suggesting we're not going to have an investigation at all, she has said, you know what? I have written a letter to the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, and I have reaffirmed the notion that when it comes to these fundamental kinds of things, my National Security Division has confirmed for me we should be using SCIFs. We should be using something called JWICS. It's the Joint Worldwide Intelligence Communication System. Get on your SIPRNet account. Do that, and we can ensure. And then we can also tell Congress, by the way, that from going forward here, we're never going to do this again. Boom, you're done.
Yeah, but do all those super fancy secret networks have emojis?
That's the problem.
You know what I mean? That's the problem. I want an emoji, yo.
Right.
And of course, very problematic. And they use these things because they don't want you to find out.
Right.
And it harkens back to the Mueller investigation. Mm-hmm. And I just pulled this up from CNN back in 2019. Despite the report's comprehensive pages, it could have been longer if Mueller's team had access to more communications. A quote from the Mueller report: some of the individuals we interviewed or whose conduct we investigated, including some associated with the Trump campaign, deleted relevant communications or communicated during the relevant period using applications that feature encryption or that do not provide for long-term retention of data or communications records. In such cases, the office was not able to corroborate witness statements through comparison to contemporaneous communications or fully question witnesses about statements that appeared inconsistent with other known facts. They've been doing this the whole time. They continue to do it. They got away with it with the Mueller report. They're getting away with it now. The judge has ordered the relevant parties here to hold this data if it's still there. But he did not expand that order to all other potential signal communications within the government. Right. So, like I said yesterday, if the lights are dimming, that's the energy being used while the entire government, Trump administration, deletes all their signal apps or messages. Come back with us. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to This Is a Lot with Dom Salvia, Jess P.S., and James Santel. It is a lot. I'm going to get to your calls and your texts as well. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Talking about Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, and downplaying any sort of investigation. Perhaps we can play that clip one more time, if you would, specifically about the no investigation needed, according to, don't call it Foxy News, Laura Ingraham and Pam Bondi, the Attorney General.
This is not a concern of yours, Inspector General, you know, idea of Inspector General investigation or congressional investigation down the road. You are completely confident that this was a mistake and nothing more than that.
We are, and all of our intelligence officials.
We are. I mean, if it's a mistake, Jim, does that make it any less illegal?
It does not. And again, in fairness, which I'm trying to find some basis upon which to be fair to my attorney general, it is good that we identify all the people who should be looking at this, right? There should be the inspector general, the Department of Defense, maybe the Department of State as well. They are supposed to be, until we know, as Jess has reaffirmed for us today, until they get fired by the president of the United States. They're supposed to be somewhat independent inside. They should be conducting an inquiry. They're not. They don't indict anybody. They've got no charging power. They simply make findings about what happened. What a great office that would be to answer what the American people want to know. And then at the other end of the mall, you've got the thing called the United States Congress. It would be appropriate, again, I recognize under the present composition of the Senate and the House, it's not going to happen, for there to be an oversight committee review of this, right? And call witnesses in and ask them what happened here. And yes, indeed, here's the point. Any attorney general under any administration, regardless of who appoints them, should at a minimum open a file. What she should have said today to Fox News was, we don't know where this is going. We have a responsibility under the oath that I took, the Department of Justice. We need to investigate this to determine whether a crime was committed here. We don't know. We don't know any of this. She comes to that summary without any examination at all. We have simply opened a file. I am not confirming for you anything about whether there will be civil pursuit of this criminal. That's what you say. And I've assigned good people to investigate this, come back to me, and I may come back to you at some point and say, you know what, we've examined this all. There is nothing to charge here. But at least pursue the effort while the inspectors general are looking at this, while the Congress is looking at this, probably coming all to the same result if they had integrity. The attorney general should be at the forefront of that, saying, yes, we've opened an investigation. We will tell you when we're done with it. That's what a good attorney general does, not a summary conclusion. Yeah. We're all concluded on this.
We're confident. It was a mistake. You know, what's the mistake? That it got out, that we found out about it?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it a mistake that they added Jeffrey Goldberg to it?
Right.
Was it a mistake that they were like so cavalierly talking about, you know, trying to shake down Egypt and Europe for the cost of this operation that presumably Europe wasn't even talked to about it up front? I mean, what part of this is the mistake? The mistake that the dude actually was, Hagseth was kind of bragging? He didn't need to put all the information, the timestamp dates of when the bombs are actually going to stop dropping. I mean, we did the whole agenda for the day, man.
Right.
That was a mistake. There are all sorts of things that were a mistake, Jim.
Right.
But she's no problem here, nothing there. What about the fact that this is, according to the American Oversight lawsuit, an unlawful destruction of federal records and to compel recovery of records created through the unauthorized use of Signal? If it's unlawful to destroy these records as these things were set to delete, and we know just based on life experience, this is not the first time that Signal or messaging and encrypted apps have been used by this administration.
Right.
Guaranteed, man. So if that's the case, isn't that unlawful?
And this is one of those situations where the cover-up can be worse than the underlying event, right? We talk about that a lot in American history. You have an obligation, an oath of office, once again, to be transparent. Let me hasten to add that, yes, indeed, I mentioned it just in passing before, there's a thing called the deliberative privilege, and that's right. You want to have policy created at the presidential level, at the cabinet level, all across the board, U.S. attorneys' offices. You want to be able to sit down with your staff and say, listen, let's talk through this.
And be candid.
Yeah, and Dom, you've got a different view than I do. Let's chew over that, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk to the FBI. Let's talk to the local sheriff. Figure out what's going on. You don't want all that in the news the following day, right?
Right.
You do need to keep records of all that because you want to establish down the road if there's a request for discovery, if there's an allegation, which is what is permeating all this, that there was some inappropriate motive, if somebody somehow did intend to throw this out there and there was an intent to disclose this in some way, you want to have records of all of that. And to your first point, if you are destroying the very records upon which that inquiry can be made, that in and of itself can be a crime. And that's the other reason why Pam Bondi, at a minimum, if she finds that, yes, it was a mistake, and then afterwards there were all these attempts to try to suppress the information, that, again, the cover-up, worse than the crime, is classic Watergate stuff, right?
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. History doesn't repeat, but it rhymes.
It rhymes, yeah. Exactly.
Mark from the SAC, you are up. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us today?
Yeah, I pull a little Archimedes in here. Isn't that a lever long enough to pull Ron Johnson's head out of his butt with his latest thing? I mean, it is just beyond me. And for all this other stuff, I mean, these people didn't use a skiff. I looked up what a skiff actually is. I mean, you're not going to be... That's where this should have been discussed. They wanted to do this so you have a happy, happy, joy of people dying.
Sorry to cut you short, man, but we're going to come into a hard... Did you just pull a happy, happy, joy, Ren and Stimpy on me, man? Wow, I used to love Ren and Stimpy. Happy, happy, joy. Yes, you're absolutely right. This should have been taken seriously, and it wasn't. And because the reason it wasn't, because these are not serious people. They're not. And we heard about the concern that so many people had with Hegseth. And the dude didn't get 61 days in, man. It was the 24th that he got confirmed, and it was the 24th of March when this all blew up.
And keep in mind, February was a short month.
That's what I'm saying, man. 2 months, man, and the thing blew up, and we still got to deal with this. Folks, come back with us, 855-752-4842. How does this impact Freedom of Information Acts? And we want to get into some of these attorneys, some law firms targeted by Trump. Some are rolling over. Some are fighting back. Come back with us. Oh, and don't forget, end of the show. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. This long distance dedication going out to Casper. Love you, buddy. Hope to see you soon. Join us on the lines. James Santel joining us on the desk. You can join us as well. 855-75-CIVIC. Just PS working hard on the board. We've heard from Wisconsin Republicans, elected Republicans, Ron Johnson, Tom Tiffany, Drunky Van Orden, and then we also heard from Attorney General Pam Bondi. Everybody's attacking these judges.
Yes.
Oh, these judges are unconstitutional. They're throwing out not all, but lots of Trump's executive orders and going against his agenda. I'm like, well, yeah, maybe he's being unconstitutional. They're doing their job.
We can't have a rule of law in America, I mean, at least in the state of Wisconsin.
The rule of Trump is what they want. And what's the rule of Trump? Well, whatever it is the day he says it, which is why we have the rule of law. We don't want an absolute monarchy, Jim. And I find it so super offensive the guy puts a crown on his head and acts like this is a joke. I mean, with that kind of attitude, you can come and pluck people off the street and ship them off to be renditioned at another... Oh, wait, what's happening?
Right, exactly.
Wow. A little too close to home, Jim. Right. What do you think?
And this is Sonia Sotomayor, right? We go back to July 1 of 2024. And Sonia and Ketanji Brown Jackson, plainly Elena Kagan, all writing these excoriating dissents with respect to that immunities case. We forget that the first portion of that, written by John Roberts, gives the president of the United States of America this incredible amount of power, right? Talks about the need for a president to be active, to be vigorous, decisive, energetic, speedy. If you can't be feeble, because a feeble executive implies a feeble execution of government. That's what the chief, that's the law of the land as articulated by the Chief Justice. And our president gets that. And frankly, he's doing that, right? I put a lot of responsibility at John Roberts' feet. And yes, indeed, this very nice statement that he made early on about, oh, we shouldn't be talking about impeachment. We should be appealing. Not nearly enough, John. Not nearly enough. We need to be out there with a full-throated condemnation of this. Put it all to an end. He's done some of that in the past. I suspect, once again, he's intimidated by this fellow who's living in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It is time for the Chief Justice to be very clear
that none of this, that this is the rule of law. He is the head of the federal judiciary, and all the people are, under him are being attacked. It is time to come forward, John, and defend your people. And it's not his people specifically, but it is the federal judiciary for which he's responsible.
Yeah, yeah. I guess just a quick thought on that. Given that, you know, Trump was elected, and whether or not they ruled the way they did on that, and I agree with you, this was an overreach by Roberts and those, and I agree with the dissent on there. But Donald Trump was elected, and whether or not they ruled that way, he still would have been elected. He still would have dismissed all these cases, and I believe Donald Trump still would have gone through with haste, with alacrity and speed and all those things as he's doing right now. So I don't think that necessarily the actions of this administration have changed any because of that particular ruling, at least not yet. He's thrown everything at the wall. Now he'd have done that regardless, in my opinion. Now the question is, of course, the actions that this administration is doing, they're blatantly unconstitutional in many, many regards. And specifically, some of these deportation things, man. I mean, oh my God. I mean, if they can, if you don't have the right to say, no, I'm not a Venezuelan gang member, you know what I mean? Then they can rendition anybody.
Right. And in fact, the tattoo based upon which you've decided that I am a member of this gang affiliation here, that's because I like soccer. And it's right. And the point of that, we don't know that for certain, is due process, right? And that's why these people are saying, no, no, these judges cannot do it. The judges are not. They're not finding as a matter of fact that the 200 people are right now sitting in this high security prison in El Salvador, that every single one of them is or is not a gang member. We haven't gotten to that point.
Yeah.
If you are attacking Judge Boasberg for what he is doing, you're attacking the fundamental notion of due process. Boasberg, I suspect it may not happen, but Boasberg and the appeals court may well one day say, you know what? And maybe the Supreme Court, which apparently is going to get this very soon, may well say, you know what? He can use this Alien Enemies Act. He can do this. We're not even there yet. Because, and here it is, this is what Patricia Millett said 48 hours ago. 2-1 panel saying, no, Judge Boasberg is just fine. We're supporting what he is doing in this case. She said the government's removal scheme denies plaintiffs, and that plaintiffs are the frankly, not maybe not all the 200, but basically it is that. And I love this phrase, even a gossamer thread. When's the last time you used the expression gossamer thread, Dom?
I don't know what that means. What's a gossamer thread?
A gossamer thread is basically a light and kind of flighty. You think about it in meadow, just airy kind of a thing. Very, very non-specific.
Insubstantial.
Gotcha.
Insubstantial.
That's gotcha.
It. Not even a gossamer thread of due process. And then she goes on to confirm this as a part of the presentation of the Court of Appeals, D.C. Even though the government, that's Pam Bondi, that's the attorneys I was talking about before we're presenting this case, even though the government acknowledges their right to judicial review of the removability, we're all in agreement that they should have gotten that. But they're sitting right now in a prison in El Salvador, and maybe they should be there. We don't know that. Maybe they are a threat to our nation. We haven't decided that because we didn't afford them something that every single, and you don't have to be a citizen, if you are here, you are afforded the protections of the Constitution. And if you don't think that we are, it's only for citizens, you are wrong. Go back and revisit what it is our country is based upon. You've got another judge, same panel. Her name is Karen Henderson. She says, sensitive subject matter alone, this goes to the power issue that Pam Bondi is talking about. And again, Henderson, for what it's worth, she's an appointee of George H.W. Bush, been there a long time. She says, sensitive subject matter alone does not shroud a law from the judicial eye. Just because this is sensitive doesn't mean we can't look at it. She says, we have previously considered the precise sort of question the government contends we cannot. That's telling Pam Bondi, wrong, wrong, wrong. And we've got a panel basically saying that, yes, indeed, we have a constitutional violation here. And meanwhile, you still have Judge Boasberg saying, aside from that, again, more proceedings in front of him, you still haven't told me. Were you in violation of my order when on the 15th you sent those planes in the air? And again, this is the thing that's so stunning to me. Somebody knows when those planes were wheels up, right?
Yeah.
There's a document out there that says, here's the order that's been given. Here's the manifest. It's when they left. Here's when they were in the air. This information is known. The judge wants it. And it's not coming forward. Why? Because the presumption is because it probably shows that sometime, maybe after Judge Boasberg said, no, no, you keep those planes on the ground. Somebody said, we don't care about judges. They don't have any power. send the planes on. And that's when the Republic, that's quite literally, it's not hyperbole, that's when the Republic begins to disintegrate, because you're not following the rule of law. You've got a judges, plural, saying, don't do this. Do not send the student from Tufts University overseas. Do not, and even that, sending her to Louisiana. Keep her local here. We don't know the timing of that. If you are doing things purposely to undermine what the judges are telling you to do, you are in not only in contempt, you're basically ripping up the Constitution and the due process that every single person in this country, all your listeners, regardless of where they are in the political arena, every single one of them embraces and would expect if they were on the receiving end of anything from the government.
Well, Jim, they're not in contempt yet because right. they haven't provided the information
exactly
yet. And they're exactly. they're hiding behind, what, national security or
right.
something?
Come right.
on,
exactly.
really, what?
Right.
So where does that stand? The administration hiding behind the national security on this contempt issue, whether or not the planes were in the air, wheels up at the time he gave his verbal versus written order, all those kinds of things. Where does that stand as far as the legal process is concerned? And number two, let's assume they are in contempt. What's the remedy?
What's the remedy, right? So plainly Judge Boasberg is not satisfied and continues to yell. He continues to set all these deadlines. And at some point, I think he will make a finding of contempt. The question then is, as we've talked before, what do you do with that, right? Again, as Andrew Jackson said to the Supreme Court many, many years ago, go ahead and enforce your order, right? Well, Judge Boasberg has some capacity here. Doesn't have an army, he has the U.S. Marshals. Ooh, but they're inside the Department of Justice, right? That's another bit of a challenge here. He does have the capacity, depending upon the kind of contempt, to jail someone. And if somebody at some mid or high level purposely made the decision on the 15th of March to send those planes in the air, knowing that there was an order prohibiting that, that person is in contempt. And he can find that, indeed, you need to spend some time behind bars because of the violation of the court directive, not because of a violation of the criminal law. And beyond that, what's next? Again, you've got the Court of Appeals affirming what Judge Boasberg is doing. I am hearing just this afternoon, not surprisingly, that, again, my Solicitor General is now asking the United States Supreme Court to review all of this. And, again, we've seen this in a couple of cases before. Now the Supreme Court presumably would get involved to try to figure out who is right, who is wrong. John Roberts has another chance, John, to redeem yourself. Do the right thing here.
And if we do have charges of contempt, if those then come with a sentencing, would those be federal or state? Meaning, could Trump then just turn around and use his pardon abilities?
Right. These are all federal judges. You're absolutely right. And the question is, again, you're absolutely right. He enters a judgment of contempt. He orders someone jailed for some period of time. The pardon power is pretty extreme, right? We know that. It doesn't apply to cases of impeachment. But beyond that, it's fairly broad. Even so, at some point, as we've talked before, and I know this sounds, again, hyperbolic and perhaps over the top, U.S. Marshal, take Mr. Johnson, take Ms. Phillips into custody and keep them in custody. And then again, maybe the president is going to release that person promptly. But for a moment, that would be the appropriate thing to do, because you violated a basic tenet of our republic. We follow the rule of law. We do.
Can you send the bailiff after him? I mean, come on.
Right.
Well, all right. Okay, let's go one step further. This goes to the Supreme Court, right?
Yes.
This is, as it stands right now. Mm-hmm. And this specific case. So
right. It's an emergency petition. It's once again the so-called, the shadow docket. They're taking up very quickly. They got 64 cases. Mm-hmm. They're going to somehow insert this one in, presumably, if they decide to review it. They don't have to.
Right.
They could keep things in place as they are. But if they do decide to review it, then they're going to do some expedited briefing, oral argument.
And is this on the case whether or not that this action by this administration, I guess under the Alien Enemies Act, is appropriate in this situation? Is that what we're reviewing in the Supreme Court?
That's the core issue, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Does the president have the right to use that, again, 19th century law, a finding, again, that we are at war, and that these are aliens who are, again, compromising our national security. That's the core issue, and that's what the judges are and very strongly indicating. Again, this 2-1 panel saying that the Venezuelan migrants likely to succeed in their claims, the government cannot use that wartime law. That's what they already found. So that's going to be the core of this. Depending upon what Judge Boasberg does, it could be wrapped up also in a contempt citation, too. All this could, depending upon how they define what they're reviewing, they could take all of this or very little of it, carve it out. Figure out what they want to decide. But that issue about whether or not the underlying invocation of the law by this president is legal, that should be before them. And have John Roberts tell us that we are at war with Venezuelan gang members right now.
That's right, because it's not even Venezuela.
Right.
Also, some additional news on this topic, and we'll get to your calls, folks. Be patient in the next segment. You know, tell us something good, then we'll talk more about these topics. New York Times is reporting that Trump's efforts to deport migrants to places other than their country of origin hit a new roadblock today when a federal judge issued a temporary order requiring the administration to give migrants an opportunity to contest their removal on the grounds that they might be at risk of persecution or
due
torture.
Due process. That's
US
what we call
District
due process.
Court Judge Brian Murphy, who sits in Boston, ordered the government to give migrants a chance to contest their removal to a so-called third country under a federal law that limits deportations to places where the deportees, quote, life or freedom would be threatened. He also cited a United Nations treaty against torture. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Who do we see? Who was taking the pictures, the DH in front of the prisoners? What's her name? I'll get back to it. She was down there. You know, she cosplays her role. Homeland Security, maybe? No, there we go. Yeah, nice look. 855-75-CIVIC. Oh. Come back with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, want to hit us up, tell us something good. That's how we end the day, the week. It's been a week. It's kind of a lot.
It's a lot.
Let's get to the callers. You're lining up. We do appreciate you playing along. Kurt from Madison, you are up. Welcome, Kurt. What do you got for us?
Oh, this question is for Jim and I'm curious, given the debate between BS and Crawford, that they're both judges, wouldn't it be kind of fun to have them both swear on the Bible that everything they say is the truth and the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
It certainly is what we do in court, right? We presume that if you do that, you will in fact tell the truth. That's always the concern, right? But again, anything that can get more honesty in our process, let's give it a shot. I agree, Kurt.
Yep. And Kurt, do you have something good for us?
Yeah, thanks to the 70-degree day, backyard was destroyed due to landscaping last year. Mm. I was able to get the whole thing raked and seeded, and now I'm drinking my Bloody Mary with my beer chaser.
Well done, we Kurt. Go. Appreciate it, man.
And your Bible is there too, right, Kurt?
Have a great weekend. The testimony in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Some folks think those cats were not being entirely truthful.
Right, and they are under oath to tell the truth. Yeah. And you can be prosecuted for that's just to be in court. When you take the oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and you do not do that on something that's material and provably wrong, you are committing perjury. It's a tough thing to prove. It's a tough thing to prove. But nonetheless, if it is that clear, black and white, and you knew at the time that what you were saying under oath is wrong, you've got the intent to commit the crime.
I'm an old man. I'm confused.
So, for example, someone saying that nothing in the signal chat was classified information. If we then find out, oh, yeah, the document that Pete Hegseth was copying and pasting the exact plans from was a top secret classified document.
And you knew that at the time that you made that statement, you are in big trouble. Absolutely, right. Jess. Yeah.
855-752-4842. Margaret from Cottage Grove, welcome to the show. Tell us something good.
Well, I wanted to say that regarding the earthquake in Myanmar.
Oh, man, terrible.
My brother, it was horrible. My brother lives in Thailand and not too far from where it happened.
Wow.
He had 7.7.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my.
Earthquake. Yeah. But he's okay.
I'm glad to hear that.
He was complaining because he's such a smart ass. He was complaining that he couldn't get his nap.
May that be his biggest concern.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Margaret. Yeah, terrible earthquake in Myanmar. Lots of people dead, buildings down. It's not a great scene. So glad your family is okay, Margaret, thinking of all those folks. Enjoy the days. You never know when yours is coming. 855-752-4842.
You know, it is tragic. Another important point. When we are overseas with an entity called the United States Agency for International Development, that's the kind of thing that we do. We support people who have absolute meltdown crises and people die. The agency all but shuttered today. It's over. There are 900 people left. They're inside the Department of State. And we do not have that capacity now to assist. I'm not saying in Myanmar we'd be there right away, but that's the kind of thing that our nation has always done. And we're not doing that anymore. That's tragic.
The staff of USAID will be reduced to some 15 legally required positions. The agency employed about 10,000 people before Trump entered office. It's all over.
It's done.
According to the New York Times. Claire, you are up the OC. Welcome, Claire. What do you got for us? Tell us something good.
Hi, Dom. I've got a joke to hopefully cheer everybody up for Friday night.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who?
Who?
What are you, an owl?
Thank you, Claire. Appreciate it as always. Cam from Appleton, you are next. Welcome. Tell us something good, Cam.
Well, the something good I got is that my union contacted me today and said, we will do our hardest job to make sure that you are not let go.
Hey.
That's why I got
here.
All right.
Excellent, man. Great news. Appreciate it, man. Anything else for us today? All right, we'll take it. Thank you, Cam. Take care up in Appleton, my old stomping grounds.
One of them.
L.A. Tom, you are next. Tell us something good, buddy.
Absolutely. First, something good is that Civic Media. If we didn't have Civic Media in the state of Wisconsin and actually around the country through the app, we'd have one less outlet of media that's not just corporatized but actually just facts. So I think the fact of having Civic Media is a very, very positive thing, and everyone needs to realize what it would be like without Civic Media.
Right on, man. Appreciate it, Tom. Have a wonderful weekend out in L.A. Hell, it's almost L.A. weather here, dude. It's like 78 when I was driving in. James Santel, you got anything you want to throw out there last 30 seconds?
I do, yes. And this is University of Maryland having its commencement exercises on May 21st. The president of the university announcing to graduates and families their speaker at the time is going to be the world's most famous amphibian, Kermit the Frog.
Yeah!
Love it. Kermit. Folks, have a wonderful weekend. Thank you, James Santel. Listen to his show tomorrow, Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. Amicus, a law review. Thank you, Jess P.S. Folks, have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.